Our scripture reading will be from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph all went up from Galilee and from the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for I bring you good news as of great joy, and which will come to all the people.
For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading for tonight comes from Paul's letter to Titus. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of the book of Titus, verses 11 through 14, and it is found on page 1041 of your pew Bibles. So let us at this time listen to God's word for us. "For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds." It's the word of the Lord. Well, we finally made it. Our journey is about to come to an end. We've had 4 weeks of preparation, 4 weeks of preparing during the season of Advent. We've lit all the Advent candles, the candle of hope and the candle of peace, the candle of joy and the candle of love. And we have one more candle to light, and that is the Christ candle. We will light that candle tomorrow during Sunday morning worship on Christmas Day, and I invite all of you to come back at that time as we celebrate Christmas Day. But we are reminded tonight that all of our flickering candlelights are an acknowledgement that Christmas begins in darkness. Not just the literal darkness of the winter season, but the cold, cold darkness that grips our hearts and our imaginations, and indeed grips our world. We're reminded of a little bit of that darkness this week leading up to Christmas. I heard a story of a Christmas tree being lit in the western part of the war-ravaged city of Aleppo, only to have a bomb go off moments later. It scared those who were there, but it didn't stop the celebration as dozens of people gathered to celebrate Christmas. We heard about a truck ramming into a market, a Christmas market in Germany. And of course, there are various stories closer to home. We are reminded of how dark a place our world can be. I know that the temptation during this festive season is to forget all of that and to concentrate on the joy and the lights. That's why we're here in this beautifully decorated sanctuary, this well-lighted sanctuary. Sometimes we pastors get into trouble by congregants who want us to keep things upbeat and positive. But in order for Christmas to make sense, we have to acknowledge the darkness. Because Christmas is God's commitment not to leave us alone to our own devices, but it is God's commitment to reach down into the darkness of our world to save us and redeem us. That's why the Christmas stories that I like the best are the ones that begin in darkness, where the glory and the radiance of God's presence shows up in the most unlikely people and in the most unlikely of places. A hospital room, a prison cell, a homeless shelter, a skid row alley, a refugee camp, a stinking manger on the far-flung edges of an empire. These are the kinds of places where the presence of God often shows up to save and to redeem. I was listening on the radio the other day about a young man who, out of prison, was destined to a life of continued prison and confinement and drugs, which had characterized his life up to that point. And then someone intervened. Someone intervened so that his life might be redeemed, so that he might be saved from the direction that he was going. And that's what Christmas is about. It is about our redemption. It is about God intervening into the darkness of our world and the darkness of our lives. There's a word that captures all of that nicely. The word that the Apostle Paul used in our reading this evening, and that word is grace. God's amazing grace. Grace is one of those religious words that often gets lost in all of our abstract theologizing, but it simply means the gift of God's unmerited favor towards us human beings. Grace is the reminder that everything begins with God. It is the reminder that we cannot save ourselves. Sometimes one of the illusions that has to be burst is that we can save ourselves, that if we're just good enough, if we're just smart enough or productive enough, or if we vote for the right kind of program, that we can save ourselves. But we are reminded that we cannot save ourselves. We can only be saved by the gracious actions of a loving and merciful God. And that's what this day is all about, this night is all about. It is about God's grace appearing to us in the form and the shape and the person of a little bitty baby that comes into our midst on a cold, cold night. The good news of Christmas is that God in Christ has broken into the darkness of our world. And even though Jesus was the appearance of God's grace among us from the very beginning of his life, he was shown very little grace from us. He was born in a stinking manger to a mother on the run in a world that had no room for him. No room for God. No room for truth. No room for love. No room for compassion. No room for God's grace in our midst. Just as the world today has no room. No room for the thousands of men and women and children who are on the run from the darkness of war and cruelty and oppression currently in our world. I was reading in Time magazine this week about the babies born to women fleeing the violence of Syria that has been raging for the last 6 years. We're reminded that wherever there is a baby, there's hope. Wherever there's children, there is hope. I know we have a few babies in our midst tonight, and we are reminded of that. But the story was about women with babies. And I can't imagine leaving a war-torn area, trying to make my way with my family to a place of refuge, and only to get to some place, some refugee camp, and to be told that there is no room. No more room. No room for you. No room for your baby. No room for your future. No room. And yet thousands of refugees, many of them mothers with babies, are told that very thing. No room for you in the hearts and minds of many people in our world. No room because of our fears, because of our apprehensions. Part of the darkness of our world is not just its violence, it's not just its overt cruelty, but our indifference. Our lack of empathy, our inability to see our own humanity in the humanity of those who are suffering. In short, our lack of love and compassion and graciousness towards others. But we are reminded tonight that it's in the midst of this kind of world that the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people. That is what Paul tells us in the book of Titus. The salvation of all people. Not just some people, not just rich people, not just American people, not just well-connected people, not just powerful people, but the salvation of all people. The graciousness of the incarnation, the graciousness of God becoming flesh and dwelling in our midst, is not just the fact that Jesus came to bear our sins. But the graciousness of the incarnation is that Jesus came to show us how to be ourselves. He came to show us what it really means to be human. What it really means to be creatures made in the image of God. Creatures capable of bearing God's glory in the world. He came to redeem us, to redeem our humanity so that we can be the people that God always intended for us to be. Someone once said that Christmas is about the self-humiliation of God and the exaltation of us human beings. It is God's willingness to take on our nature. God's willingness to become one of us. God's willingness to empathize with us. God's willingness to see things from our particular perspectives is about God becoming one of us. But it's not just about the humiliation of God. But Christmas is also about the exaltation of us human beings. It is about us human beings becoming more like God. It is about us becoming more and more exalted, more and more divine. But to be more and more divine is not often what we think. To be more and more like God, to be more and more divine, means to be more and more loving, more and more compassionate, more and more just, more and more gracious in how we respond to our fellow human beings. That's what it means for God to show us what it means to be a human being on this particular night. Paul reminds us that we are called to live between the two Advents. The first Advent is the one that we celebrate here tonight, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. And the second Advent is the one that we are awaiting, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will come again and all things will be fulfilled. But in the meantime, we are called to respond to God's grace through our own lives of gratitude. We are called to be His loving people in the midst of a dark, dark world. Christmas begins in darkness. I know that we are fond of gathering on Christmas in a wonderful place like this. I know we are fond of hearing the old, old stories and singing the old, old songs. I know how fond we are of gathering with family and friends and remembering Christmas past. But none of that is enough. It's not enough. We are called to be much, much more. We are called to be the people of Christ. We are called to be His light, the light that goes out into the midst of a dark, dark world. We're reminded that Jesus on this night didn't come to the places that were well lit and shiny. He didn't come to the malls where the music was playing and people were moving about shopping. He didn't come to where the beautiful and well-heeled people reside. He didn't come to the suburbs where everything is neat and clean. He didn't come to the big concert halls where grand productions were taking place. But Jesus came to the very places that are often ignored. He came to those very dark places where human beings are often the most desperate. He came to those very places that people often give up on, those very places that seem to be without hope. He came to the very people that seemed to have the least to live for. And it was there that He entered into the dark world to bring hope and peace and love. You and I are called to go to those same places on this night, because this night changes everything. We might think that our political events change everything. We might think that our technology is what changes everything. We might think that our military power changes everything, or what happens to Wall Street is the most significant thing that can take place in our society. But the most significant life-changing event took place 2,000 years ago on a cold, cold, dark night when God entered our world, not as a powerful military chief, not as a rich athlete, not as a big business mogul, but as a little bitty baby. A little bitty baby needing a mother and a daddy. A little bitty vulnerable baby needing someone to take care of him. That is how God enters the world. That's the way of God in the world. Just a small light flickering in the darkness. A small vulnerable light. It looks like that it could easily be extinguished by a strong breath. But we are reminded that the darkness cannot overcome the light. The darkness cannot overcome it. And we're reminded that the darkness of our world cannot overcome us either. We may seem like a small, vulnerable community of men and women called out into the darkness of this world. We might ask ourselves, what is the use? What is the use of going out in our proclamation? What is the use of loving? What is the use of being compassionate? What is the use of caring for our fellow human beings? What is the use of bearing the heart of God in the world, in this dark, dark world? But we are reminded that we are the light that the darkness cannot overcome. We are called to be that light this evening as we celebrate God's grace. God's grace, God's light, God's love, God's graciousness breaking in to our world. And may we forever bear witness to his light with our own lives of justice and peace and love. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us that we belong to you. You have reminded us that even though the world around us is a place of darkness, that you have called us to be your light that shines in the midst of it. We ask, Lord, that you help us to bear the glory of your light out into the world. Help us to proclaim the meaning of this season, the meaning of your gracious appearance in our midst, in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.